Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah. Welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show. Oh, you're doing that thing.
I'm doing that thing.
The rip and everything?
No, absolutely.
All right. Welcome to the Baseball Tell AfterBuzz After Show. We had a wedding, a TV wedding.
We did.
We had a confession. We had some get down,
much anticipated.
The honeymoon came right on time, if you know what I'm saying.
You worked that so hard.
Okay, welcome to the Baseball Tell AfterBuzz After Show. We're here. We have a full panel. Oh, God, I'm watching you dance, Joe. It's not good. I'm sorry. We have a little delay here in the thing.
Why are you saying mean things?
No. But this.
It was not intended to be good.
All right. One more time. Welcome to the Baseball Tell AfterBuzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Joe Sanfilippo.
Nice to be here with you guys.
And I'm also joined, as always, by the lovely Dua Casey.
Hi, welcome.
And I'm joined for the first time by the lovely Julia Carey.
Ladies and gentlemen, Julia Carey.
I'm a little nervous.
No.
Oh, don't be.
But super duper excited because this show is awesome.
Yeah, so we made it. Julia in absence of Nando, because after she stabbed Nando to death and killed him.
Stab.
We said you'd be perfect for the Bates panel.
Yeah. And so she hadn't actually been up to speed, so she went on a crazy binge and watched like 3 seasons of Bates.
Holy
and
cannoli.
You've got to be nuts right now. What is that like?
A little bit. You know, it's kind of it's hard to binge watch a show like this.
Yeah.
I have to be honest.
No, it
because you know, there's a breakdown of those carefully constructed borders episodically, seasonally, and so you feel a little bit lost in the intense psychology of a show like this.
Yeah.
You like the time for that to seep in.
Yeah.
But
there's also like the side of me who wants the instant gratification.
And when
like,
you're
go,
going,
go,
when
go.
Upstairs,
also, I'm on a timeline, so go, go, go.
Or when you go upstairs to bed, do you see Norman at the top of the stairs? And are you who's hallucinating?
I had to give my eyeballs and my brain arrest every once in a while because it was a lot. And I have to tell you, I have construction guys at my house right now, so I took it as like the perfect time to sit down and binge watch, and I think they think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
hours and hours. It's like, guys, I really do have a job, but hours and hours of this like really disturbing, dark, macabre show. It's like, you guys want more coffee? I need more coffee.
Are you calling Eric Romero?
I am not.
I think he could fit the bill.
Yeah,
he could pull it off.
A Nestor eyeliner, although Nestor doesn't wear eyeliner, but
it looks like it does. Always has.
Like he does.
And I do have to say thank you, Joe, Dua, Joe, because for 3 seasons you guys have been telling me that the show is right up my alley.
So good.
I would love it. I was like, okay, fine, whatever. I'll check it out when I can. And then I had to, and then I was obsessed.
We know that.
You all know me so well.
He's so good.
Season 4 is off to a bang. Like the first 2 episodes were outstanding. We gushed all last week about all the acting chops of Freddie Highmore and Vera Farmiga in that like Night Mother, Good Night Mother two-hander episode where they just sort of
clear reference to the play. I mean, you knew obviously.
Obviously.
Yes, but you know, Joe, the UCLA theater graduate's like, what's a Night Mother?
Look at the other theater person going.
Sorry.
Let's go.
All right. Let's go. Anyway.
Anyway.
I'm sorry. This episode, though, is called, what was it called? Death Do Us Part.
Till Death Do Us Part.
And usually, like, I love this because usually in television and in series, we have a long-standing history in television shows with a lot of, like, will they, won't they, will they, won't they, Ross, Rachel, blah, blah, blue, whatever.
Did you pull up a Friends reference?
I mean,
everything always comes back to Friends.
Listen, in case you guys didn't know for sure, we're old.
Well, yeah, I was about to go Sam Diane.
Oh!
So Ross Rachel was the keeping it current.
Yeah, current.
Keeping it hip, kids.
So the kids know. Yeah. Ross and Rachel for the kids.
Next thing you know, guys, there'll be cell phones. It's going to get crazy out there.
We have a lot of these sort of will they, won't they things. We've had this whole thing going on with the Normero situation for 3 seasons. But usually television shows take the opportunity to have a wedding. Weddings are like big ratings getter. They usually like will announce them. It's a big thing, the wedding. And this was kind of just like slipped in there at the beginning of episode 3.
Schwunk.
We slipped in a wedding.
Yeah. And it was very, very, it was cool. I liked it. So I want to get our thoughts on the wedding itself. I thought it was, as awkward as it was, I thought it was super sweet.
It was perfect.
Right.
It was perfect. And I think it was probably the most honest wedding that I've ever seen. It's just, they were such honest characters. Like, mm-hmm. that was, and I mean, correct me if you think that I'm wrong, but I think that Romero was all about it. I think that he really, 100%.
About it. he was all about it.
And I just think, I mean, Vera Farmiga, the way that she played that scene was amazing. It was just so great. And then just every single reaction shot, when she saw the ring, when they kissed, like everything, all the little subtleties, was perfect.
I don't know that I've seen an actress other than, you know, the goddess Meryl Streep do so much with her face.
Yeah.
Like so much nonverbal acting, like from like I'm pissed to I'm scared to I'm crazy to I'm fine to I'm angry, like within 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. She's just so planted and present and completely and there's always awareness. There's never a time when you see her on screen that she doesn't know exactly what her character's doing, exactly where her character's at. It's unbelievable. And then when you watch another show afterwards, and it doesn't matter who you are, this show screws you up because you watch the next thing and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, because no one's that good. Nobody.
Also for me, coming off of 32 hours of this show straight, 33 now, I guess.
Could take the needle out of your arm now.
she never falters either. And she has such a range and such nuance. She's doll-like and she's desperate and she's so sympathetic, but she's so manipulative. I feel so manipulated. But I can't stop. And I just love her. And she has like these superhuman acting skills.
Yeah. She's insane.
It's incredible. And that scene, the wedding, was just, I mean, she floored me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The whole scene was actually really quite interesting.
Let's unpack the wedding a little bit. I need to know what your specific thoughts on the wedding. You know, she's there, then Romero comes in the suit looking quite dapper.
Oh my God.
Just give me your thoughts on the wedding itself.
I mean, the wedding, for me, there was a touch of confusion because no one really understood what each other's intentions were.
Right.
It sort of felt like nothing was completely clear, but nothing is ever clear in this show.
Right.
And there's always, like you were saying, a will they, won't they, push and pull between the two of them.
Sam Diane.
Does he really want this? Does he not? Is he doing it as a favor? Is he doing it because he loves her? I just thought it was played so well.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, like, I love, you know, Vera's sort of, like, you know, almost resistance the whole time. I mean, no one's like, I don't want it. And then realizing like, oh, I do want this.
Well, she's also clad completely in black.
Right.
Yeah. And she's coming off a really rough night, we have to remember as well. So her mind is elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, we get that shot of her looking at Norman's empty room. We've talked about this in season 1 and 2, but my man Norman, put up a poster. You're 18. Like, you gotta get a friggin', you know, I don't know, like a Beyonce poster or something you're gonna put up, or somebody, Lady Gaga.
That house represents
the stuffed dog.
That house represents a completely different thing. None of that would fit in that. That house represents their relationship together is out of time, out of space.
Yeah.
It does not center in the time we're in.
Mm-hmm, yes.
It's a timeless thing, and putting up pop posters would just destroy that.
It cracks me up. That room is so sparse and gray.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like a pop of color.
Taxidermied up.
Yeah.
Get a flower in there.
Taxidermy's timeless.
Speak of flower in that mug? Something. Anyway, I digress. But yeah, Joe, thoughts on the wedding?
You know what I love? I love little things like the rings, like her not having a ring for him, like her and him picking up the pieces on that instantly. Yeah, it's getting sized. But, you know, little pickups from him, because this is something she's not taking seriously. It's Norma, so it's not completely conceived. It's not completely thought out. And he has to clean up the mess because that's how he is. He's going to absolutely make it nice and clean and tight and right. Does he have a ring? Of course he has a ring.
Yeah. Now, do we know this ring? Is this ring...
It kind of looked like it was antique, didn't it?
Was it his mother's ring?
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking here. Lounge Blogger says maybe it's his mother's. She thinks it's an heirloom. I don't know.
It almost looked heirloom-ish.
Mm-hmm. And it looked antique-y.
Yeah, and I think that that ring is really important, because I think as soon as Norma saw that ring, there was just that connection, and she kind of realized that this might be a little bit more real for him than it is for her in the moment. She was really just kind of going through the motions. Let's get this over with. I've got to cook dinner. There are things that I have to do. But the second that she saw that ring, it was like it snapped. It's like that physical motion of getting a ring put on your finger, especially right. for a woman, like that is an important is an important thing. And then that kiss as well.
Can we talk about the kiss for a second?
Oh my God, there's so much chemistry between them. Listen, undeniable chemistry.
When Nestor kisses you, apparently you stay kissed. Yeah. That's how that works. Kisses that shit up. And I, you know what? I'm going to chin you here. I'm going to grab your chin. Uh-huh. And when you touch a woman's chin, sometimes it can look very condescending on camera. Yeah. Sometimes
break it down, Joe. Break it down.
But he didn't do that. It didn't feel that
soft.
Way to me. It was gentle.
It was guiding.
But it was firm and guiding. Yeah. And she, holy shit. And then it was over. Space still kicking it out there. She could have gotten blown over by a fart. That was beautiful. Nestor Carpenter, you pimp. Look at that, man.
Dreamboat.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Not to mention the fact the man shaves 2 seconds later, he's got 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah. I mean, you know, that the man's.
That's my fave.
Right?
That's my fave.
Manly man.
Wow. He's definitely handsome and definitely doing the thing. That was a mic drop kiss. Just kissed and then walk away, drop the mic. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, he filled her pit, if you know what they mean. He filled
outside,
the pit.
Outside, he filled with the tractors.
He filled the pit. He got her.
It
he got
sounded
her
remarkably
did
dirty.
You guys read the note? I got the pit filled.
Yeah.
Symbolism.
Yes. I think this thing would have to be filled again. Anyway, sorry. What happened?
Huh?
All right. So the wedding was great, but then we had the aftermath. And the wedding was actually strangely romantic, as weird and awkward as it was and funny as it was. But, after that we go. I'm going to just go back and forth from, sort of chronologically or as the episode went. Then we go and we see Norman back at Shady Acres at Pineview sort of getting the tour. And, I don't know. Like, first of all, Pineview, not so bad.
Prediction was not right.
Huh?
Your prediction was not right. Joe predicted that it would almost be like this, like, just really shady, like, not what it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, oh, I thought they would F him up in there.
Behind what the...
Yeah, like, as soon as it, like, lobotomies.
Like American Horror Story Asylum back there.
Yeah.
But no, it was fine. And, not so bad. It looked like a 5-star hotel.
No, I mean, if you got to go to a whack job loony bin, that's the spot to go.
Norman, by the way, Norman's not doing much for his case of, like, I'm not crazy, by the way. Him walking around like, he looks very much like he's crazy, like he should be there.
Well, he is.
Yeah, well, he's like, I just want to go home. He's like, oh, you're not going anywhere, buddy. Look at you. Have you seen yourself? You're not going to go anywhere.
Norman does an incredible job, though, of making you believe that he is not crazy. Like, all of those scenes when he was taught, like, he really believes that his mother did this. He doesn't think that he's crazy at all. He, just acknowledges that he has blackouts and that's it. And he does such a good job of making me feel what he is feeling.
Absolutely. Top gun acting.
Like, it all the time. And I was like, he's, like, how tortured must he be?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that scene with him and Norma later, because that was incredible.
Yeah.
But he is just so, like, alone. And him disconnected from Norma now, like, they've been such a cohesive, pairing for so long. Now that they're disconnected, it's like, who are these people? And he is just festering.
And not only that, like, he continues to be, and I know you probably noticed this watching the whole series, one of the things we always talk about how what a remarkable job they do in making both Norma and Norman completely sympathetic as crazy people, right? So, like, you know, Norman is not, he's psycho, like, literally psycho, but you're rooting for him in that moment. Again, he does it every episode where you're like, oh, this guy's crazy. He's the bad guy. Oh, poor Norman, what's he gonna do?
Yeah.
Or, like, Norma, she's out of her mind. Oh, Norma. Yeah. Like, every damn episode.
Oh, he doesn't get a belt. They took away his belt.
It's the craziest magic trick I've ever seen on television. I don't know. and it really is. It's nuts. So, he gets a tour. I don't know, not much to say about the tour.
He got
it.
Tour.
You know,
got the tour. He was unhappy about the tour.
You've been to one loony bin, you've been to them all.
Yeah. So then we go back to see, by the way, by the end of the wedding, Romero drops the bomb, and, oh, by the way, I'm moving in. Like, he's like, huh?
Which love is cool. It.
But you have to.
Of course. He's I'm a elected official in this town. Just, I can't be whoring around.
Just like the ring. She just thought, she didn't think it through.
Yeah.
She just thought, I marry Romero, I get insurance. That is the that is the entire, that is her whole thought process.
What did Carrie Ann say? Like, it's just a straight line? Or who said that? Vera? Said she's kind of goes in a straight line.
Yeah.
Always moving.
Yeah. She jumps first, thinks later, all the time.
Yeah. So the moment comes and there's a knock on the door and there's Romero with his stuff. And even then she's like, oh. The look was like, oh, you're actually moving in.
I'm gonna need a key.
Yeah. I like how assertive Romero's being in this whole situation. I think there was a bit. I think what we've seen of Romero in the past and dealing with Norma is sometimes it was like, first it was a little like trepidation, then it was exasperation, like Norma. Then it was like sort of like, okay, Norma, whatever you need. Now it's like, I'm your husband. Yeah, I need a key.
I think he's learned how to handle her now. I think he's gone through the gamut. That's what makes him such a great pair, is that he knows her. He knows her reactions. He's familiar with it. And he knows exactly what she needs. Like, the whole, like, we're going out to dinner. Like, he knows that she's upset. She's thinking about Norman. She just needs to go out to dinner and have a drink. Like, he's like, get stuff, get dressed. You're going out to dinner. And again, he doesn't make it sound condescending or controlling in any way.
Right.
It's very, very nurturing, very, very sweet, and just exactly what she needs right now.
So is he completely taking on the role of a husband, not a marriage of convenience and to help her out? Do you think he's really embracing this? Like, well, now I am your husband, and we're really going to play husband and wife.
I'd be willing to bet it's somewhere in the middle, but I think that that for some practicalities, I mean, you got to decide with especially a small town where you're an elected official. You got to, you're in or you're out. And if he's in, he's got to be in. There's really no way. There's no other way to view it.
Well, he's in already.
Right. He's in. And so I think that, but as far as the relationship goes, I feel like that's kind of at arm's distance. That's kind of like, we'll see where this goes. But as far as like my involvement in your day-to-day, where I'm sleeping, do I have shit to say about this? Yeah, I do, because I live here now. Do I have stuff to say about this? Yes, I live here now. You know, that's all got to be there. So, I mean, there's, you can't be a guest in your own life. You got to be there.
Well, and the way he's asserting himself is, I think it is somewhere in between. I think that he's like, okay, this is a marriage of convenience, but like, let's not forget, I think, Romero's in love with her. Like, I think he loves her.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
It's that push-pull between, like, okay, this is, we have to keep up appearances, but I kind of like this lady, but I'm also trying to protect her. And then I think he just said, F it. Like, I'm taking, like, his assertiveness in this, and, like, we're going out, this is what you need, this is what we're doing, and sort of handling, Norma, if you will. Mm-hmm. Like, Norma sort of needs that. I think he recognizes that, as you said.
Yeah.
He knows she needs that, and she's kind of taken to it.
Yeah.
Even all the various thousands of looks in her face of like, I can't go, but I love you, I don't want to. But like, I think it was cool.
Well, it has to be appealing to her when she's been just so out of control for so long,
right,
to have someone take control and take care of her.
Yeah. And also kind of sexy, I gotta
say. Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of sexy, like, you're going to dinner.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Get dressed.
Okay. Yeah.
It's so neat to me the way they've structured this, because I've said, and it's not like I invented this, but the best tragedy and the best writing for anything, for any drama, comedy, whatever, is when the characters are set and they're just put in situations where they do themselves, they do exactly what they would do, and it leads inexorably toward a result. And that's, this show is so careful about everything. And this is so neat because to me, I said this a couple weeks ago, his Achilles heel is Norma. And here's this character who's been a great hero of a character. Like, he doesn't screw up. He's so careful. He does everything right.
Yeah.
He's got that town wired. He's got a moral code he lives by. He's got everything wired up the way he needs it to be. Mm-hmm. He's got women that he obviously, that he has relationships with, but nothing is serious. He's got it locked up. And now we see that moment where he made that decision in the truck. Boom, I'm going to marry her. And now we're going to watch it. It's going to be like an unfolding train wreck for the next season and a half until eventually this whole thing ends.
But I think that he's thought it through. The way that Norma just jumps into a decision and showed up at his house, he said no, but then he thought about it. He thought it through. So he's already navigated this whole relationship in his head where Norma doesn't even know where it's going. So he's like, allow me to kind of let you see where it's going.
Well, sticking with this, I want to just ask. So we have that scene where he goes back to the house and he sees one of Romero's women, I guess, apparently. At the crib. Who?
Oh, his bank buddy?
His banging bank buddy.
Yeah. I was like, the question of, like, you know, I think it was at dinner. Like, I mean, pretty blunt. Like, so who do you sleep with? That's also a good question. He's like, you know, I got my people.
He was so gentlemanly about
it. Yeah, he's like, you know what, I got some
numbers.
Are you? Small town. Yeah. You probably know him.
Got a little black book.
Make some visits.
But of course, I like the, you know, I don't know. I love that answer. But we meet one of those people, and we see who this person is. And we've never met her before, right? Never seen her before in our lives. What was your take on her? I mean, do we think that there's something more? Do you have a weird theory that there may be something more to this?
Well, that whole scene, if you really kind of unpack that, the anatomy of that particular scene, it was kind of cryptic. Like, she's already in his bedroom when he gets home. He doesn't seem shocked by it at all. But she's there, and she, you know, makes note of the fact that he cashed a check at the bank 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. And she's apparently looking for her socks. I think they want to make it seem like he does not trust her. Because, I mean, she's obviously not trustworthy. She was laundering money for Bob Paris. She's willing to do things that are wrong.
Right.
And when she left, he immediately went to go look and see if his money was there. So obviously, I think that there's something there. And it was just really weird. Like, I'm looking for my pink socks.
Maybe some foreshadowing.
Like, why wouldn't you call? Why wouldn't you call somebody?
What do you think was in the drawer?
Well, first of all, she had a key.
Yeah.
Which I think is a big deal.
Right.
Right? Well, like, you don't just give a key to a you know.
So that's a regular.
Thank you.
I was like,
I
should
like
figure out
how to say it appropriately on air.
Vaudeville performer? Oh, you see, it's a side piece there. Side piece, Tony. Side piece Gina. Side piece Gina.
She's looking for pink socks.
I don't know.
Why won't you give me a key? You're a side piece, Gina.
All right.
I just don't know how much of a recurring character. Sorry, I'm still cracking up. How much of a recurring character she would be? It sort of felt like something of a filler scene in order to move the Bob Harris money laundering story forward, and the fact that he has all that money.
Yeah, well, it might be.
Yeah, or to just kind of tap into that part of Romero's life, because we haven't seen that
filling
part of Romero.
Out, yeah.
And so kind of making that scene at the dinner, with him and Norma, kind of make more sense of, like, oh yeah, he is sleeping with people. Here's one. Right. Like, so I mean, I honestly wouldn't be shocked if we never see her again, but I wouldn't be shocked if we see her in a different...
Again, I agree with you. I think we will see her
I
again.
Think so. I think she's got information that is pertinent to Romero not going to prison for a really long time.
And was that statement threatening when she said, since Bob Paris disappeared... Like, did that seem threatening to you?
Because I didn't see that.
But I love, again, he's so good. Just nothing on the face. Yeah, I'm giving you nothing. And he's totally calm until she's out.
Yeah.
And doors closed. Then I'm going to react. But I really like the way they cast her. I like that they didn't cast her as some 22-year-old, you know, who's just having some fun. I like that she was a little bit older. I like that she had her own stuff going on. She was involved in the town enough that she was trusted by Parrish to launder money. So she's no joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like she's she's a barista at Starbucks.
She's a banker.
I don't think that Romero would be interested in a barista at Starbucks. Like, he likes really complicated women with a lot of layers.
Well, Norma's not that complicated.
What do you mean?
But I loved the choreography of that scene where she kind of like dipped into him and he backed off and then she moved. Like, there was a whole nother thing going on with the way that they were.
Can we talk about that really briefly? Like, the camera, I didn't figure out who the DP was on this episode because I got lazy when I was running over here. The camera movements in this episode were so sneaky. Was I the only one that felt like every time it came around a corner, it snuck up behind
someone? I'll tell you this. I don't know. I don't know who who shot it. I don't know who the DP was, but Phil Abrams was
the director.
But Phil Abrams is a DP for first. He's okay. Yeah, he shot like a bunch of Sopranos, a bunch of Mad Men, a bunch of like he is a DP.
He's a big deal.
So he knows, he's a BD DP,
if you know what I'm saying.
but he knows where to put the camera, if you will, and he's directed, you know, a bunch of Mad Men's what else? Some other stuff here.
All right, so this was no action. If you guys go back and double check this thing,
Daredevils and Strains, and
you're gonna feel like you are sneaking around the house with them. He sneaks you into the basement. He sneaks you around the corner in the hallway. You sneak up behind people. It's the way he shot this was really cool. Like, you feel like you're sneaking into their lives.
That's really cool.
Well,
the one thing I'll say about that, and we can move on to the therapy session with Norman, is I think that like what we've known in the past three seasons, what Carlton Cuse and Carrie Aaron have been great about, and this writer's staff have been great about, is like the two layers. You have the Norman Norma story in Romero, then you have the sort of the White Pine Bay drama it's always the underbelly of White Pine Bay. Mm-hmm. Season one is always there was something, and you know there was the trafficking and the Asian lady and the thing, there's all that stuff, the weed business, and then all the way up into like you know last year was Arum and then all this. So we haven't got to that yet. There's always a White Pine Bay element to this. We haven't mm-hmm. gotten to that the under the crime element. We still got my man Chick limping around the woods.
Ooh, oh yeah.
We still got the weed business. You know,
Chick is screwed up.
Whatever Arum's Chick, crap. Yeah, we have Chick. The DEA sniffing around. So Romero's still trying to keep the shit in the horse and Dylan's trying. So I feel like I'm saying all that to say there's a whole White Pine Bay element that's coming that mm-hmm. they haven't dealt with yet, and I think that our girl Romero's girlfriend, Chicken Wing, side piece, has something to do with that.
Side piece, Chicken Wing.
Gina. Yeah.
So, I mean, those are my thoughts on that. I want to talk about, well, before we get into Norman, let's since we mentioned it, let's talk about Dylan. So Dylan is walking around with Emma, and they seem to be, you know, and
he's up in his game.
He's like ready to put a ring on it.
He's like, you know,
giving her some Emma.
So maybe again, think about going back to school. He's giving up the weed business and he wants to do all these other things. I don't know. Did they sleep together yet?
No. They only kissed once.
Exactly. One sloppy kiss. That's it.
Wow.
Shawell, yeah. So he's all and now in. She's got a new set of lungs, so they can.
We learned today that when Nestor. It's all bad. The ladies on this panel are dirty today.
12-year-old boy.
Honest to God.
It wasn't us. It was this episode. This was a steamy, sultry episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, got us all hot bothered.
Yeah. I think that, with the Dylan stuff, but Dylan mentions that he wants to go out and get rid of our favorite millennial, Puka Shells Gunner.
Puka Shells Gunner.
Oh, Puka Shells. He's like, that guy's dead weight. You know, triple, go ahead and get rid of him.
Triple Puka Shells.
And so he goes to get rid of Puka Shells. His shit's already packed.
You know what I love?
He's like, man.
I was talking about this before we started. I love the depiction of this generation in that scene.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave.
Yes.
I left you a note. You just read the note?
Yeah. You work here. I've had
these guys work. This generation is so effing close to useless. It's astounding.
Right, here we go.
They will walk out the door.
Get off my lawn.
I turn the hose on you. They are 2 weeks notice. You got them working for you. 2 weeks notice. Yeah. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I don't understand, bro. No, I'm going on vacation tomorrow. I thought I'd tell you, but I'm not coming anymore. It's they're half a step from useless.
Gunner wouldn't talk. Yeah, bro, I'm leaving. What are you gonna talk about?
What do we gotta do? I'm going to Cali. I don't think this is gonna work out.
Chop's dead, bro.
Yeah.
This is fun while it lasted. I got Puka Shells again.
I gotta go.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Got the real ones in Cali.
Yeah. So that was
my Jeep.
That was great. And I love how Dylan's just mad about it. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't even fire this guy.
I was gonna break up with you, goddammit. Yeah,
exactly. I don't know the significance of that, other than maybe to just to write Gunner off the show. Maybe, I don't know if Gunner's coming back.
He's kind of pointless.
He
and Emma, right? They had the thing. So he did his job.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
So you guys are saying that Gunner has become dead weight at this point?
Yes.
They'd write him off. They didn't kill him.
He might have to come back. Maybe Return of the Puka.
He's too oblivious to kill.
Puka 2.0.
All right. I will, but then we do have the return of Chick. You're like, who looks his way?
Scary looking. Wow.
Who's creepier than that guy?
Listen, note to self, man. If you decide to beat the guy who wanted to kill you and your son with an inch of his life, just finish it. Because now you got a limping madman who is determined to kill you.
Yeah.
And so, he just left your son out there.
Yeah.
To fend for himself.
Finish the job.
After that, finish it, man.
Yeah. Did he think he finished the job? No. He didn't think that he finished the job, right?
He purposefully walked away because he didn't want to be that guy anymore.
Well, you got to, like, you can't be that guy half-assed. You got to either commit or you got to, because now.
Bloodthirsty panel. Yeah. Look at you guys. You should have killed him. Y'all should have killed him.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm a realist. If you got to do it. Otherwise, you're just leaving. I've watched enough television. I know the deal.
Okay. They always come back.
They always come back. Yeah.
I get it.
Smelling blood.
How long do you think it took Chick to get in that outfit? He's got all the dangling crap, all that stuff. Yeah, that was deep,
the
man.
Cane. So I get back to my White Pine Bay drama. I think that Chick's got, there's something back there.
Chick's got some stuff.
Chick's pretty goddamn mysterious as it is, so we still got some stuff to go on. So okay, so Norman has a therapy section with Dr. Gay Edwards.
Dr. Gay Edwards.
I loved him.
He's great.
He's
the best.
He's one of those guys that makes me want to go out and buy a sweater vest. Like
I don't think I would ever want to buy a sweater vest.
I'm like, you made it look good. I'd rock a sweater vest.
I've seen you in a sweater vest.
I will say this. The first episode of this very podcast, you and I both showed up in dueling sweater vests.
Sweater vest!
I looked it up. We're both in there with sweater vests. Looking ridiculous, by the way.
Hashtag sweater vest.
Anyway. I think it's time to bring them back, boys.
Do you have any notes on this therapy session? I thought it was very great. I thought it was cool how Edwards just leaned back and sort of took it all in. Really, like therapists observing it all. It's a very sort of good, mano-a-mano kind of scene. I thought it was a well-placed scene in informing both characters and also, just sort of setting the stage for what may or may not come. I don't know anything.
I thought it was interesting. I mean, Norman is on the verge. I mean, he has lost control, but he's never really been in a therapy session like this as well. So to have
the last time he was, he tried to kill the therapist.
That's true.
Yeah.
So you could sort of see him slipping further and further away as this man isn't backing down and probing questions at him and things that he wasn't prepared to answer and he's scared to answer because of what he really does believe.
Did he say? I don't know if he wrote it down, but he says, what is this for? He's like, I know what you guys do. And I was like, yeah, that's not really therapy. That's not really what we do here.
It's like, we were talking about getting into the brains.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's more of like a ping pong, you're the driver, I'm the navigator.
One thing you said, sorry, go ahead.
Are you about to quote what I'm about to quote?
I don't know, what are you going
to quote? Sometimes a person might think someone needs help
because they are actually the one that needs help.
Good job,
guys. Oh, the girls! I missed you, Casey!
Girl power.
Was an important.
Yes.
That was an important piece of writing, though.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
They both wrote it down. Did you write it down?
No.
Me neither.
Write it down?
I did not. No, absolutely not.
I wrote down boobies.
17 times.
I don't know the reference.
I don't know. Could be argued the women on this panel are somewhat sharper than the men.
Between the guys and the girls. I don't know.
I am shocked that he stayed in control so much that he hasn't switched over to the Norma side yet.
Yeah,
I think that he needs that's a really, really good point. It is high stress that triggers him. I think that he will.
Yeah.
But right now, all Gay Edwards is trying to do is he's trying to establish trust, like he was telling Norma. So he is really just kind of like absorbing everything, like you said before, Joe.
Meanwhile, Norma is like desperate to go see him. She's calling, I want to see him, like, 48 hours. And Romero's like, you need the 48 hours, and that's when we go to dinner.
72 hours.
72 hours, I'm sorry.
So then we have
the dinner with Normero, which I thought was a very sweet dinner, and we had some nice exchanges there. We kind of referenced it earlier. We talked about it earlier. There was just the asking of how many women have you slept with, and some nice sort of you really see their chemistry, Vera Farmiga and
Norma lied to him too. Just to make that very clear.
Well, yeah, like my three marriages, she lied to him about, she said she got
knocked up. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, oh, about Caleb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, I got knocked up by my first husband.
Incestuous relationship with my brother for a few years, which resulted in the birth of my first son.
I guess they're not there yet.
I don't know if that's first date after you get married.
Then I had the second husband who Norman kind of killed.
Right.
Yeah. So now you're next.
You're on the line. Yeah. Exactly. Are you having fun yet? You seem nervous. Do you not want to eat the soup?
A little wine, please?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not a good. Good way to keep a man. I don't know how these things work. But
you know what? Can I say one more thing about that scene? I love so much that they grown-ups. I just love that they didn't try to make it cute. They didn't try to.
Yeah.
It was people in the middle of their lives finding a friendship that is got some sexy behind it.
Yeah.
And that was the move. And it was so cool. The writing was that way. The energy was that way. And it wasn't exploring like. It wasn't exploring like a redo of like young, fresh, new love. It was seasoned people doing seasoned stuff. Anyway, the scene was really was kind of special like that.
To sort of jump on that as well, I enjoyed the juxtaposition of the first night of marriage versus the first night of institutionalization. Mm-hmm. And she's out having, you know, sort of letting her guard down and her first night without Norman and being just her own person, sort of putting that aside. While Norman is inside, thinking only of her and the things that he thinks that she's done and how he feels manipulated about her. Mm-hmm. So then when she actually goes to see him, and he, which we'll get to, I'm sure, in a second, and blows up at her and tells her he's scared of her, yada, yada, yada. I think that the guilt that she's going to feel for letting herself be, like, a woman and have a relationship with a man, whether it's for one night or whatnot, I think the guilt she's just going to be wrought with, and it's going to really move this relationship in an interesting direction.
Well, no.
Ta-da.
I agree with all of that. I want to, and then also just the amazing restraint that Romero showed in like taking her to bed and putting her in bed and being like, good night. And she's like, good night. Oh, like, yep, I'm out. Bye. I thought that was some nice restraint.
It left her longing for certain.
Always leave the audience wanting more.
Yes.
Good night, everybody. So then we have Norma actually has her visit. She has her visit with Norman. And it is everything we want it to be. Like, again, we just saw an entire episode of them facing off, and now we see Norman completely feeling betrayed, and also, like, I don't know, it's a weird thing. Like, his emotions are so complicated because he's afraid of her. He feels betrayed by her. He knows in his mind that she's a murderer. Mm-hmm. He wants to protect her, but should he protect her? But then he feels betrayed by her. Mm-hmm. So that scene was sort of like, you're forcing me into a corner here, mother.
Yeah, it was perfect. Well, initially he was really happy to see her, and it was just like the sight of her. He was like, oh, he was happy. But the second they started talking, it all came flooding back. And it was really interesting because Norma, the only reason that she wanted to go there is to absolve her own guilt.
Yes.
That was it. I really don't think it had anything to do, like, it was kind of a selfish move and a 17-year-old girl move.
Since she is now starting to really enjoy herself with Romero. Like, she feels like, I can't really enjoy my life because my life has always been about Norman, and so I got to make sure he's okay. There's that sort of, like, guilt to release that situation. Yep. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that particular last scene? Anything in the cool notebook?
In the cool notebook.
on the visit, the Norma visit.
Well, it's sort of what I just touched on when she comes to visit him and he's screams at her and he just loses it, which is a real big time that I was shocked that he didn't turn to Norma.
Yeah.
And when he's in the cell afterwards.
Yeah, I thought for sure he
would be.
And that iconic, almost like Psycho Hitchcock, like through the grated glass.
I thought for sure Gibbers would come in and he'd be like, Norma. And that was it. And that was a little surprise on that. And I also, again, Norman not doing much for his case when he like comes barging in the office like, I need to see the doctor!
Yeah. Like, right now, which is kind of a Norma move, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, the I need to do it right now. I'm going to jump first, ask questions later. And I think it's really interesting, too. I'll talk about this in predictions. But, I mean, if Dr. Gay Edwards is forced to go to the authorities, who is that? And what would they do?
That's what I want to talk about right now.
So Norman goes in there. After that scene, he actually is sitting there.
So that whole thing knocks him.
He confesses.
Yeah, that rage, that episode with Norman knocks him into outing Norma, right? That, so he's going to go ahead and you realize the implications. If you say this, I have to tell the authorities. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think his rage, that the focus, his rage has been so focused, that's kept him in Norman. I think it's for whatever reason, he's been able to stay Norman for so long because he's been so mad and so he feels so wronged.
And also the interesting thing, the interesting predicament this puts Norma in, because she, in order to, she'll be put in a position in order to sort of clear herself, mm-hmm. she has to implicate her son. Like, they may say, like, well, somebody's dead, somebody's been killing people, and she has to say, well, actually, gotcha, Zach, actually, it wasn't me, it was my son who thinks he's me,
right.
but I don't want him to go to jail because I love him, but I don't want to go to jail. You know, who knows?
And then we got to add in one more layer here. Yeah. Romero can no longer be compelled to testify against Norma because they're married. So that adds a whole other layer of wacky shit that goes on. He doesn't have to testify. He can be like, found some dead people, but I don't have to say anything.
Found an earring by the pit. There's a dead body.
UCLA Law School?
Yeah, didn't read all the plays.
The Night Mother, but that's a good one. Let's get confessions, but I will say before we get to confessions, predictions.
This is a different kind of show.
I didn't want to say that, but I think that did happen. The stinger on the episode, well, before the confession, is, you know, Romero, he did the deal. He put it down. They made out in a very passionate kiss.
Don't toy with me. Are you serious? Yeah. And of course, that's how, I mean, she...
Don't toy with me.
That's what he... Yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah. Is this something that you want? Because he's wanted it forever now.
And I love how he is, right? Listen, this is the precipice. This is the... If I go this way, I'm all in.
Yep.
It's very clear.
And he picks her up and whisks her up.
Gone with the wind, actually. Yep. We're going
that
up.
That was beautiful. The threshold.
Hot. Yeah, not unlike the way Norman carries his dead Norma around in Psycho, but that's a separate thing.
Aww.
It looks normal. Norma, get used to that.
Your Easter eggs are unpleasant.
Get used to getting carried around, Norma.
Braswell, I have one question for you. Now that we found the earring, I know we got to wrap. Now that we found the earring, do you still think that Emma's mother is alive?
Yes, I do.
You
let's
do.
Go, let's go to predictions. Can we go to predictions?
She's alive underneath all that stuff in the pit.
Under the filled pit.
TV predictions.
She's dug a home for herself. She's living with the mole people.
We got 15 seconds each for predictions.
Like I said, Romero cannot be compelled to testify. I think we will find Emma's mom in that pit. But I mean Romero and Norma, and he can't testify against her, so it's going to open up a whole other can of shit because I think that Norman is going to get out of Shady Acres pretty soon.
So my prediction is not for this season. It's going to be for next season. But you know that anybody that marries Norma does not end well. I think that Romero is actually going to get killed.
I know.
It is, I mean, it's got to happen. It's the saddest thing. I love that this episode was so happy, but it's not going to end well.
Did her teenage first husband, did he die?
I don't know. We'll find out
he did. I'm sure he's
your prediction?
Dead.
I'm so overloaded right now. It's kind of hard for me to make a prediction. I think she's going to be so wrought with guilt after her visit with Norman that she is going to sort of close her legs to the sheriff for a while. And he made that very clear. If you start this, it's going forward. And I think that's going to make him angry.
Yeah.
And my prediction is Emma's mom's alive. And Norman will definitely become Norma in the psych ward.
Yes, to
see what's what.
I can't wait for Dr. Gabe Edwards' reaction to that, though. That'd be great.
Right time we did it.
We did it.
Our first thing back together. I forgot to, as we get out of here, I have to say hello. Thank you for all you guys for joining us in the chat room. Anika and Chloe and Lounge Blogger and Drew and Shalom Joe and, of course, Sylvia.
Love
and
Lounge Blogger.
All of our folks, Drew S., Ivana, Dodge. Thank you all for joining us live. Thank you all for checking us out on iTunes and giving us 5 stars. We appreciate that. And making us usually the number 3 or 4 rated show on AfterBuzz.
Thank
you for checking us out on YouTube as well. Flippo, where can the kids find you?
On the Twitters at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo.
Dua.
At Dua Casey. Sorry, on the Twitters. DuaKaissi on the Twitters.
And aside from listening to Hamilton, where can we find you?
Twitter and Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, JuliaCarely.
And you can find me listening to Hamilton and at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter and Instagram, and on our sister late work, BHL, doing a show called Geek Nerd Tech. And listening to Hamilton, I said that
Man
as well.
Man is nonstop.
Oh! Hamilton reference. Thank you so much, guys, for checking us out. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.